God's face and he is before me, it'll keep me from doing stuff I shouldn't be doing and focusing on what I shouldn't be focusing on. And I'll keep my eye on the prize and forget those things which are behind and reach toward those things that are before me and press. Anybody pressing in here today? I press toward the mark for the prize of the high call. Do I have a witness? He said that his hands were steady. Anybody know what it means to be steady? That means his hand didn't get weak then. His hand didn't go down because he had a support. He had somebody to support him. He had somebody to hold his hands up. And you know what? I thought about this. I said, well, why in the world didn't Aaron and her hands get tired? Because you know what? Moses had started out lifting it up and they stood there and watched and said, we don't even know why we're here. But then when they found out that we got a reason to be here, do you know that you got to find your reason for being here? Do you know you got to find why God got you in a place around a certain amount of people so that you could be a support and a help to them? I wish I had somebody. I posted something on Facebook the other day. I exist to assist. That's what I'm here for. I exist to assist you to get what God wants you to be. I exist to assist you to be able to overcome things that you thought you couldn't overcome. So what my job is not to be selfish and get it all done for myself, but I got to show you how to do it. I got to pray for you so that you not faint. I got to pray. Jesus told Peter, he said, I prayed for you that your faith failed. I wish I had a few people in here today that said, thank you, Pastor, because you prayed for me. I would have fainted, but you prayed for me. I would have given up, but you prayed for me. I would have thrown in the towel, but you prayed for me. It was just that one prayer. You know what? I'm so glad that I'm amongst people that I ain't got to be in your face every day, but I'm in God's face every day telling the Lord, thank you for them. Lord, thank you. Bless their life. Help their children. Open up doors for them. I'm thankful for that. Amen. All glory be to God. But the Bible said that they were all day, from the rising up until the going down of the sun, he worshiped God all day long. And we can't come in here an hour and worship. We're ready to go right now. We can't come in here for 15 minutes. If we play a song a little bit too long, we're looking at the clock. I gotta go. I got stuff to do. Well, guess what? You can go ahead on and do it, because I'm gonna worship God in spite of. I'm gonna worship God in spite of what you do, in spite of what the devil does. I'm gonna lift my hands and say, Lord, here's the power of God, and I'm gonna keep lifting it up, because all power belongs to you. All glory belongs to you. Come on and say amen here.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Hogan Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Canty, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Canty, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I want you to turn to the book of Joshua chapter 3. And I just want to lift out verse 5 now. I'm going to just try and stay within the confines of verse 5. And if
if I don't do it, well, it wasn't meant to be. Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Let's begin reading now.
And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you.
Amen. Amen. See, if you understood what you just read, you'd be shouting right now. Let me say this. The Bible is full of examples for us. And the Word of God teaches us that all of those wanderers in the wilderness gave experiences to us to learn from the best of them what to do and to learn from the worst of them what not to do. And this book is filled, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, with examples for the people of God. And there is no people like the Israelites who have gone through and have had a rich history with God as his chosen people. So it should be interesting to you what God did with them, because he's no respecter of persons. And what he's done with them and for them, the Bible tells us he can do the same for us. For that's a little while, I want to speak from the subject, your blessing is on the way.
Hallelujah.
Now I need a few folk here at this location to help me say, my blessing is on the way. Now let's pause right there and shout for a moment if you really believe that. I'm talking about you ain't got to wait till you get in your car and at your house to shout. You ought to be able to shout right now. Hallelujah. Now I don't want to be selfish. So tell the person sitting next to you or near you, your blessing is on the way. Now come on, shout for them. Oh, glory. And then thirdly, we're in fellowship together. So let us say it like it ought to be. Our blessing is on the way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Listen, I'm so grateful for the fact that what Joshua told the people of God in the experiences that they were going through when Moses died and God promoted Joshua to the leadership role of Israel, it was because he walked so closely. The Bible says he was Moses' minister.
All right, Doctor.
And he no doubt learned a lot from Moses. He watched him. He learned from him. He talked with him. They shared many things together. And so he had no doubt the spirit of the Lord in him, and he had the understanding of Moses' heart in him for the people of God. Now, you all know the story. The people of God got on Moses' last nerve. Lord told him to speak to the rock. He got mad and struck the rock. The water came out the rock because God was with him. But I need you to know, when God tells you to do something, he wants you to do it like he said do it. When he tells us what to do, that has to do with order. Order. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And he delighted in his way. And then the Bible says, though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Now listen. And Moses messed up and he was chosen to take the people over the Jordan into the promised land. But God said, no. I'll let you see it, but I won't let you go in it. And so when Moses died, God buried him, and he would not let anyone find Moses' grave from that day to this day. Now I want you to understand something. Joshua, who knew God was dealing with him, God kept telling him in the first chapter, be strong, be thou very courageous. Why? Because he knew God was going to have to do some miraculous things through him. God was going to have to take him up higher than he's ever been before, use him greater than he's ever been used before. And he was going to have a heart filled with courage and trust in the Lord. Then in Joshua 1 and 8, he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mightest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And Joshua held on to those words of the Lord. And now in this third chapter, the Lord has brought the children of Israel to the end of the wilderness. And they've been 3 days' journey now, and they've been camped out waiting to cross over the Jordan. The Jordan is swollen now with water because it's harvest times. The waters have melted down from the mountains and hills and come down into the Jordan, and its banks have overflowed. And so now the Jordan is wider than it normally is, looks more massive than it normally does, and it has sparked fear in the folk. How are we gonna make it over? Well, I got news for you. Joshua and Caleb had already crossed the Jordan before, and they had 10 other folk with them. Those two brought back a good report, and the other 10 brought back an evil report. And Joshua says, like Caleb, it's true. The land does flow with milk and honey. Moses, it takes two men to carry one cluster of grapes. He said, the houses are sealed. The walls are sealed. He said, it's a strong city. It's a great place. Vineyards are overflowing. That's a place of promise, a place of blessings. Old man Caleb said, let us go up at once, for we are well able to take it. Now he's an old man, and others wondering what is wrong with this old man. Does he not see there are giants in the land? Why didn't God tell them about giants? Because let me say this to you so you'll understand. If God gives you something, don't you worry about what's on it or in your place before you get there. By the time you get there, the problem will be solved. He left the giants, listen, he left the giants in the land so that they could take care of everything till they got there. Listen, if the giants had been run out of the land before they got there, everything would have been run down, but everything was well kept.
waiting on them to come. And then, listen, in the 7th and 8th verses and a few of these others, there are 7 groups of people that God runs out of the land, and the enemies that come against them. Listen, God will fight your battle. If he tells you, go cross the Jordan, all you do is obey.
Obey, obey.
Because the scriptures make clear that they had instructions, and all they needed to do was obey God, and he'd take care of the Jordan. Now listen at this, because I want you to see 3 things in verse 5. And Joshua said unto the people. First thing you need to know is Joshua spoke prophetically to the people. Now keep in mind, he's the new leader of Israel. They don't have the confidence in him at this point that they had in Moses. That's why God tells them that he's going to magnify him in the sight of the people. In other words, he's going to show the people he is who God said he is. And my brothers and sisters, I think it's important for you to know that God knows what he's doing.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And so Joshua had to trust in the Lord, because there was still some folk still talking about, I wish Pastor Moses was still here. He would handle this situation. He'd do this, he'd do that. Now those were the same folk that worried him to death. Isn't that amazing that while you're there, they fight against you, and when you're gone, they fight for you? You ain't got to say amen. I know I'm right about it. And so he had to deal with the same murmurers, the same naysayers, but here he's man of faith, and he's speaking to the children of the naysayers and those folk who are now gone on. And he's speaking faith into their hearts. So he's speaking prophetically. What is he saying to the people? Well, he says, one, sanctify yourselves. Sanctify yourself. Now listen at this, because it's important. They're on the brink or the edge of the wilderness. They're trying to go over to the promised land. They're in the place at present of their past. They're trying to get to the place of their promise. But in the midst of their past and their promise, there is a problem in the middle. And the Jordan River represented a problem.
All right, doctor.
Because they had to cross the Jordan to get what God had for them. It's kind of like David. He had to go through the valley to get to the banquet that God prepared for him. See, a whole lot of us don't understand. You got to go through something to get to something God has for you.
All right, doctor.
And you need to know if he is with you or if he is before you, then he sees what you're going through, and you don't have to worry. God will take care of you.
Come on, doctor.
It's important to recognize what you're going through. God sees it. God knows it. There is nothing you're dealing with God can't handle. Sometimes he allows you to go through to develop you and to define you. Sometimes he lets you go through to put you on display for weaker brothers and sisters to see the strength that God has given. Do you not know you don't get strong till you go through some things? If we never, I like the song that Andre Crouch sung when he said, if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know God could solve them. And you got to know through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Yeah. And my brothers and sisters, it isn't until you have gone through it all that you realize that he's a mighty good friend. Yeah. He's a mighty good provider. Yeah. He's a mighty good protector. He's a mighty good blesser. He can bring you through and he can bring you to, but you got to put your trust in him. Verse 3 talks about the wind. You see, because God was trying to tell them, in a promise God makes you, you don't have to worry about wind. God's got that. Wind is in God's timing, his decision. And with God, I've told you before, timing is more important than time. Let me say it again. Timing is more important than time. What you talking about, preacher? Well, you remember he had already planned for Moses when he was just a babe of a boy to be the deliverer of Israel. That's why he spared his life and caused him to grow up 40 years in the palace of the man who held the people of God down. But Moses couldn't wait for his timing. And so he got ahead of God and decided, Sister Juanita, that he would be a missionary. And he wound up becoming a murderer when he saw an Egyptian misusing a child of God. And he wound up killing that Egyptian. He did that because he did not wait on God's timing. Then he had to wander behind the backside of the wilderness for 40 more years before God called him to be a prophet and a priest. And then he spent the last 40 years of his life leading the people of God. If he had waited on God's timing, he would not have had to go through all of that. Abraham was another one who couldn't wait on God's timing.
Yes, yes.
God told him at 75, I'm going to give you a son, you and Sarah. But it was about 13 years later that God hadn't done it, and he and Sarah were talking, and she wanted him to have a son, and she didn't believe, obviously, that God was going to do it. Because you know how we are. When God takes too long, we think maybe he changed his mind. Well, maybe I didn't hear him right. Maybe I misunderstood him.
All right, all right.
But they got together, and she offered her handmaiden, Hagar, to allow Abraham to have her to bear a child for them. And Abraham got in a hurry. Instead of waiting on God's time, his timing was thrown off, and he did that. Do you know today the children of Ishmael and of Isaac are still warring in the east right now?
Yes, yes.
Look at what Abraham messed up because he couldn't wait on God's time. And there are so many other biblical examples we can give. But think about your own life. Think about what you have messed up because you couldn't wait on the Lord. think about what the Lord told you to do, and he took too long coming, so you did it yourself. And then you had to cry for him to help you out of what you got yourself in. And some of us are still suffering today because we got ahead of the Lord and couldn't wait on his timing. When is God's decision? Say, when is God's decision? It's not my decision, so I don't have to know when. Here's what he told him in verse 3. When you see the ark move, you move. Lord, I wish I had a helper in the house. If you don't see the ark move, stand still, stay in your place. But when you see the ark move, move with it. Move with it. Verse 4 tells you the where. You don't have to know where. Too many of us want to know where God's going to do it at, and where God's going to fix it at, and where God's going to do that and the other. All you got to know is, where is God's direction? It's not your direction. Too many of us have ended up in a place where we wish we had not gone. The prodigal son. He ended up in a place in a far country. And in the end of his nomadic journey, he found himself feeding the swine, the hogs, and eating their food until he came to himself and said, how many hired servants do my father have with food and enough to spare? And I perish with hunger, won't. He said, I'm going to get up and go to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against thee, and I'm no longer worthy to be called thy son. Make me as a hired servant, a slave. And he got up out of the pig's pen and he went home. And when he went home, his father was waiting on him.
Yes, sir, yes, sir.
And his father saw him coming down that long, dusty road. And the father looked and said, that looks like my boy. I can tell the way he walks like my boy. He holds his head like my boy. He swings his arm like my boy. Good Lord, that's my boy. And he got up and ran to meet him and threw his head on his neck and kissed him. And the boy was trying to get out what he had to say. And while he was trying to say, Father, I have sinned. And Father already knew he had sinned. Father knew he had messed up. He could look at him and see he had missed the mark. So what does he say? He don't speak to the son. He spoke to the servants. Bring him a ring. Which says, he obviously had to pawn his ring that he had when he left. That says he was a son. He belonged to a family. So the servant got a ring and put on his finger. He said, bring him a robe. Because it was all ratted and tattered. And they put a robe on him. He said, bring him some shoes. Put on his feet, because slaves didn't wear shoes. And he was without shoes because his timing was messed up because he made decisions without God. My brothers and sisters, where we go can mess us up if God is not directing us.
All right, doctor.
And then listen, not only did this man of God prophesy but he spoke what he prophesied to the people of God that they might hear the word of the Lord. The people of God. Can I tell you something that's going to make you probably think I'm not knowing what I'm talking about? But with all of those folk, can I tell you the only people that heard him